Tolstoy's interpretation was certainly not unique in theory, but seldom, if ever, had it been carried out with as much zeal, sincerity, and determination. After having spent the initial 35 years of his life first as an acceptor of the life he saw around him, then as a dissenter, then as a nihilist who could find nothing to take its place, he finally found conversion to the humanistic message of brotherliness, simplicity, and love, as reflected in the teachings of Jesus. From then on, he devoted his life to championing his confidence in the natural goodness of man, and to decrying the complacent indifference of the church, rich and opulent in its trappings, to the welfare of humanity. And in doing so, became somewhat of an evangelist in his determination to find in the Gospels the categorical imperative of self-renunciation and brotherhood that he was to practice the rest of his days, and for which he was excommunicated from the church. This volume is an excerpt from his My Religion, in which he tells the story of how he came to his awareness of the course his life should take. Let us listen to him and see if we can't find answers to some of the debilitating problems that afflict mankind today. Paul Rosenzweig. 1. From my childhood, from the time I first began to read the New Testament, I was touched most of all by that portion of the doctrine of Jesus which inculcates love, humility, self-denial, and the duty of returning good for evil. This to me has always been the substance of Christianity. My heart recognized its truth in spite of skepticism and despair, and for this reason I submitted to a religion professed by a multitude of toilers, who find in it the solution of life, the religion taught by the Orthodox Church. But in making my submission to the Church, I soon saw that I should not find in its creed the confirmation of the essence of Christianity. What was to me essential seemed to be in the dogma of the Church merely an accessory. What was to me the most important of the teachings of Jesus was not so regarded by the Church. No doubt, I thought, the Church sees in Christianity, aside from its inner meaning of love, humility, and self-denial, an outer, dogmatic meaning which, however strange and even repulsive to me, is not in itself evil or pernicious. But the further I went on in submission to the doctrine of the Church, the more clearly I saw in this particular point something of greater importance than I had at first realized. What I found most repulsive in the doctrine of the Church was the strangeness of its dogmas and the approval, nay, the support, which it gave to persecutions, to the death penalty, to wars stirred up by the intolerance common to all sects. But my faith was chiefly shattered by the indifference of the Church to what seemed to me essential in the teachings of Jesus, and by its avidity for what seemed to me of secondary importance. I felt that something was wrong, but I could not see where the fault lay, because the doctrine of the Church did not deny what seemed to me essential in the doctrine of Jesus. This essential was fully recognized, yet in such a way as to not give it the first place. I could not accuse the Church of denying the essence of the doctrine of Jesus, but it was recognized in a way which did not satisfy me. The Church did not give me what I expected from her. I had passed from nihilism to the Church simply because I felt it to be impossible to live without religion, that is, without a knowledge of good and evil beyond the animal instincts. I hoped to find this knowledge in Christianity, but Christianity I then saw only as a vague spiritual tendency, from which it was impossible to deduce any clear and peremptory rules for the guidance of life.